I'll get started here. I'm the 8-bit champion, otherwise known as Chris. And this is my co-host Natasha, otherwise known as MNXPSO2 on YouTube.
And
hi. And we're joined today by Crow.
Hello.
Our Crow from YouTube.
Crow.
A Mystery Science Theater 3000 fan.
Yes, I am.
And a big video game fan. Crow is from Canada, I believe.
No.
Not Canada.
Nope.
Seattle?
No.
I give up.
I give you a clue. I live really close to Techromancer.
Techromancer.
In Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah. I live in the western suburb of Chicago.
Oh, I only know that because I just sent him his prize.
Video.
I'm a cheater.
Yeah, I don't know where I got Canada from, but anyway, thanks for joining us today.
No problem.
So, Crow, are you more of a retro gamer or modern gamer, or how would you define yourself?
I'd say just a gamer. I'd switch back and forth. Usually, whenever I'm making the videos is when I'm playing all the retro games, but then if I'm not making a video, I tend to try and play something on the Xbox 360 or the PlayStation 3.
Okay, cool. What kind of games are you into right now?
Oh, right now I was just playing Galaga.
You do that,
yeah. Yeah, I downloaded that on the Xbox 360, and then there was that challenge, so I tried my hand at it and killed my hand trying to beat his score and didn't do it.
So that's the old arcade version of Galaga, right? Not the new redone version?
Yeah, not Galaga Legions. I have that too. That is very hard. But so's Galaga. I managed to get up to the 13th stage, but I just got killed.
Yeah, I'm not very good at that game, but it is fun. So,
yeah, I'm looking at my games. I just switch a lot. I rotate through my games a lot. Just because I'm looking at my shelves, and I just have so many. So, I don't tend to stick to one thing for very long, it seems.
Cool. So, where do you go to get your games most of the time?
Well, around here, there's a couple play and trades, at least three of them, pretty close to where I live. Let's see, and then there's a Disc Replay. They have old games, and I believe they had some, like, as far back as Atari 2600. But my favorite is in, no, it's not in Chicago. It's a suburb that's inside of Chicago called Norridge.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game store called Video Games Etc.
Mm-hmm.
Techromancer is actually familiar with that because every time he goes there and he does his broke as a joke, I can tell he gets games from there because of the labels on them. But yeah, I wound up going there. Every time I go there, I spend way more money than I want to. Like, I'll go there, it's like, okay, I'm only going to spend $50, and I wind up spending $100.
Sounds like me, man.
Yeah.
Only it's usually me with eBay, probably, more than anything.
Yeah, which not to look at eBay anymore. I should watch this.
Yeah, that's the problem, because it's right there at your fingertips, you know, and you can get addicted to it.
Yeah, and then you get the bidding, and then you're looking at your watch all the time. The last couple seconds, you're like, oh, should I go higher?
Yeah. Natasha, you have anything you want to ask him?
Sure. Your videos are always so well done. How long does it take you to put, like, well, obviously you have that cool picture. Is that, like, something you designed? And then all your quotes, how long does it take you to find the quotes to put at the beginning and end of your videos?
You mean my avatar for the picture?
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because I've had that picture for the longest time. And where I got it from is the original Wipeout on the PlayStation. That was one of the very first games I got for the PlayStation. And that symbol, well, how do I say? It wasn't that symbol exactly. It's sort of familiar to that. But after I stopped playing it, I just drew it on a paper as I remember it. And then I wound up just making it in, like, Photoshop or Paint or something, like, a long time ago. I started, like, needing an avatar. That's what I started using.
Yeah, I noticed you use a lot of Mystery Science Theater 3000 sound bites at the end of your videos. Do you just have them stockpiled? Or
I do have them stockpiled. When I started doing the videos, I was like, hey, you know, it'd be a good idea to do a sound bite of a game at the beginning and Mystery Science Theater at the end. Well, I had my sound files pretty well organized since, like, the 90s. And I grabbed, I don't know where I got all the sounds from. There used to be a ton of Mystery Science Theater websites with sound bites. And I had downloaded, like, all of them that I could find. And I think I have a directory full of, like, 800 of them.
Oh, my gosh.
What I did was I made another directory and copied all those files again. And every time I use one, I put it in a used folder so I don't use it again.
Well, I don't think you'll run out of those anytime soon then if you got 800.
Yeah, that's what I said to myself. I need 800 videos before I need to recycle them.
Yeah, I think I've been on a little over a year, and I think I've made 200 videos, I think, so far. So.
Yeah, I wonder how many I'm up to. Because I was making a lot of quick clip videos before I actually started showing my face and everything.
Hurry, we need to know. No, just kidding.
72. Wow.
Oh my goodness.
And the very first videos I put up were in like 2006.
Wow.
So you've been on YouTube for a while, huh?
Well, I've had a YouTube account for a while. And then when I made the account, I made the account just so I could store my favorites. So I was like, hey, I like this video. I should make an account so I can go back and watch it whenever I want. And then I was like, you know, I got these videos. Let me upload them. And I did that. And so far, only one of them has had the sound removed.
But that's not bad.
Yeah. But, yeah, I've been making these videos for a while. Not with even the intention of putting up on YouTube originally. And I have other ones that I made, like, I guess they'd be like AMV videos from like a long time ago. I was making them with VCRs actually in the 90s. Just for fun. Two VCRs. I knew exactly when to pause and play them. I knew how much the delay was in between them.
So it was almost a little bit easier back then in a way.
Oh no, I wouldn't agree with that at all. Plus, the video quality is much better.
True.
What, like, editing software do you use for your videos?
I'm using Pinnacle Studio 14 right now. I had 12 because that came with the Pinnacle Movie Studio box, I guess. And that thing crashed a lot. And I actually had Studio 10, too, and that crashed a lot. But when 14 came out, I heard it was more stable, so I actually sprung the money to upgrade it. And it still crashes occasionally, not as much, but at least when it crashes and I reopen it, my project's exactly where I left it.
Oh, good.
Which amazes me. But yeah, that only happens like once every so often, not nearly as much as it used to.
So, I see you got a few competitions going here for high scores on games. How many of those have you entered so far?
Oh, gee, I don't even know. There was Broken 1394. I think that was his number. He started doing these competitions. He did one in, like, March or I can't remember the months, but there was, like, three games. And every time somebody has a contest that I see, I happen to have the game. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try my hand at this. And then Broken 1394 had like three games at first, and then the second time he had like 13 games in the competition. I had 12 of them. So I made like one big long video with all my scores for that. And then, you know, it just seems like random people are having like these contests all over. So there was the Marlin Lee with the Kaboom and
the Enduro.
Yeah, the Enduro one.
He did pretty good on that one.
And I wanted to do better. that's my thing with this is like I get like the best score I've ever gotten, and I'm thinking to myself, well, if I didn't make that one mistake, I could have gotten even higher score.
Oh, don't beat yourself up.
With the Kaboom one, I wanted to score over 3,000, and there was just no way I was gonna do it. I played that for like an hour or two.
That's dedication.
And I've got the Centipede one to do too now.
Yeah. Natasha, you got any more questions for him?
Probably. What are some of your favorite YouTube channels that you visit?
Let's see, I'm already on my channel page, so I can just look at my top channels. Of course, the one that kind of influenced me to make videos is the Classic Game Room channel. It's Inacom Company. But yeah, those videos. You know how I found those videos? I was putting up all the Quick Clip videos, and in the related videos, he always had done the game that I just put up. So and the guy's got like such a dry wit. And I love that. His videos are just hilarious. Also, Dami-san. Of course, Luke Morse 1.
Oh, and, yes.
And one that I'm surprised is not on a lot of people's list is Spida 1A. And he does, like, turbo views, and he's got a pinball machine collection. And he puts videos up every so often, and they're very well done.
Nice. I had to check him out. I haven't heard of him before.
Yeah, I mean, I got the... He's in my other channels or channel favorites. He's like the fourth one I put in there. He's awesome. I actually bought a DVD from him called Turbo Views Volume 1. And it's like a three-disc set, and it's just awesome stuff.
Is it all just pinball stuff, or...?
No, it's all TurboGrafx-16 stuff.
Oh, okay.
He has the intention of reviewing every single TurboGrafx game that ever came out. Because he has them all.
Nice.
So, and then there's Sinister Moon and Jerry Terrifying. I met those guys on the forums for Classic Game Room.
Oh.
Of course, there's Steve Benway and, oh, Waspray. He's got that angry luchador guy. I don't know if you've seen him. He actually just spun off another channel for the angry luchador. And it's really funny stuff. In fact, he threatened me. He told me never to mention Neo Geo stuff again. And then there's SNESTastic and Jilpu, and of course Necromancer 1, who I think everybody knows.
Yep.
Yeah. Star Soldier 1. You know, I could list off forever, and I know I'll forget some. I'm just reading. These are the people that are in my top 16, I think it is. But yeah. Tommy Fon. I always have to watch it.
Yeah, what were we talking about now?
Well, I was mentioning
favorite videos. Yeah.
Yeah, Tommy Fon, his channel is awesome.
That's a another one I'm not familiar with, but I'll definitely check him out.
Yeah, he's I guess he's like an acquired taste.
Have you ever watched Tanuki?
How do you spell that?
let me look it up. It's kind of difficult to spell.
Familiar to me.
I think
usually what happens is when somebody subscribes to me, I look at their channel, and if they have gaming videos or they've been responding to tags, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna subscribe too.
Then you get too many and you can't keep up.
With the what's his name? Old School NYC Gamer. He's the guy that started the Galaga challenge. I found his channel because I saw other people responding to his challenge. I'm like, well, I'm going to subscribe and respond to his challenge too. That's how good their channel is. Because, you know, the last thing I want to do is unsubscribe to somebody I've already subscribed to, especially if their videos are all good.
True. So, what future games coming out are you looking forward to?
Well, Super Mario Galaxy 2, I think, is the next one I'll probably be buying. Then there's one on the Xbox 360 called Death Smiles.
Death Smiles! I've heard of that. I'm sorry, I just heard of it today. I'm so excited.
That looks really interesting to me. Like something that, I don't know. Just something that I don't think would be on the PS3. Just because it's a niche title.
What is it, a puzzle game or something?
No, it's a Japanese girly game.
Was it like a little girl platformer?
Well, I guess it's like a girl on a broomstick shooter type game.
Yeah, they're Japanese superheroes, I was told today.
So it's like
a couple videos of it. Also, what it were really good, I didn't think about until I started seeing videos for it, was Split Second. That looked really good to me.
Split Second.
That's a car racing game.
Oh, but okay.
It's like the environments just continually get destroyed while you're racing around, and you have to avoid whatever's coming your way, environment-wise. It's kind of a cross between Burnout, it looks like, and something else with destructible environments.
That sounds interesting, because in Burnout, you know, you could only, like, tear up the car. You couldn't really tear up the environments that much.
Yeah, it looks like, I really don't know that much about it, but from what I've seen, it looks really, really cool. Like, you'll be racing down an airline strip, and the plane comes in and crash lands right in front of you, that type of stuff.
So is that that other game you guys were talking about, the weird Japanese one, is that just Xbox Live, or is that going to be on a disc?
No, it's going to be on a disc.
Oh, okay.
I understand there's going to be a limited edition of it, and that'll only be
$40. The limited edition will be cheaper than the actual game?
No, the game will be cheaper than $40 from what I think.
Oh, okay.
The limited edition would be the expensive version of the game.
Interesting.
Actually, that's just something I read. Now, whether or not that actually happens.
So do you play many online games, Crow?
It was funny. It was that the only game I've been playing, I played online extensively, was Burnout Paradise.
Ah, yes.
And that was great when it first came out. But now it's kind of hard to get into a game with people who are really interested in playing the game instead of just screwing around. Yeah, I like doing all the challenges in that game, and then, you know, doing the races. That was great. I want to. My problem is that I bought Super Street Fighter 4 on the PS3.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, and I never went online with the original one. And that, for me, was like, oh, well, I should beat everything in single player first before I go online. And then I never wound up beating everything in single player.
Yeah, I'm so not...
my way through that, too, actually.
Yeah, I'm not too great at fighting games.
For some reason, I have this thing where I want to see all the intros and endings for the characters.
Right. Do you have to unlock characters in that game?
No, they're already unlocked.
Nope. Cool.
But yeah, in the original one, you did have to unlock 4 characters. And I never finished that.
Yeah, that's how I remembered it.
I kind of miss unlocking characters instead of just paying for them.
So, from what I've seen on your videos, you have a fiancé, right?
That's true.
Okay, how does she like your video gaming? Oh, sorry, squeaking. How does she like your video gaming, and does she video game herself?
Well, she doesn't mind me video gaming. In fact, she buys most of the video games I get. That's
oh, why, nice!
That's why I have these pickup videos that are 3 parts long. If it was just my games, it would be a pickup video that was about 4 minutes long. he likes going out to all those playing trades and looking for games. And also, in the pickup videos, I go through the games that she picked up for herself as well. Not at home. She does have a bunch of games. She bought Heavy Rain for herself and hasn't opened that yet. Because when she is at home, she'd rather cross-stitch stuff. And I don't know if you've seen the tour of the apartment that I did. It was like a 5-part video. But like almost everything that's hanging on the walls is stuff that she made.
Awesome.
Aww.
Is it like, you mean crocheting or?
Cross-stitching.
Cross-stitching.
Yeah, it's like, and then they're framed and hung on the wall.
Oh, I'll have to check that out. That's so cool.
So yeah, she's working on like one for Super Mario Bros. 3 right now. Actually, she's working on about 3 different projects at the same time.
Yep, that's how it goes.
Do you guys ever make those homicide?
What was really funny was because before those videos came out, she had started making them with Dr. Mario. So she made Dr. Mario and the germs and the pills. And those sat around for a while, and we eventually framed those. But I've only made 2. I made one for Bonk and Excite Bike.
Sweet. What's the most complex one you guys made?
Well, that might remain to be seen. We have this frame left over, and she wants to make a really big one, but we haven't decided on an image for it yet.
Nice. Natasha, did you have any more questions for him? Or?
What is the hardest game you've ever played?
For some reason, I knew that question was going to be asked.
Oh, sorry, probably because I asked you before.
About that, it's just like I was in, I was coming home from work, and I'm thinking, what questions would they be asking? And I was like, well, they can ask me what the hard. And for me, it's funny. The hardest game for me is not even like a hard game. It's almost any kind of real time strategy game. I'm just not good at those at all. Like Command & Conquer 2 and like StarCraft. I'm always the first one out. Always. the first time I played Command & Conquer 2, the first thing I did was sell the only building I had. And I didn't know what to do after that, so I spread my guys all over the map and let everybody kill them.
So you basically sold your construction site?
Yeah. I didn't know what I was doing. And like StarCraft, I don't know. I made my building float in the air, and I couldn't figure out how to put it back on the ground. So yeah, those are for me the hardest games, just because I don't know what I'm doing.
We can both get the new StarCraft and try to figure it out together.
I'm going to be getting that.
Hopefully, it won't be a resource hog. Red Dead Redemption.
Yes.
That looks like an interesting open world online game.
When does that come out?
Next Tuesday, doesn't it, Natasha?
I think that's around the same time Mario Galaxy 2 comes out.
Oh, exciting! Is that online or is that just single player?
That's a single player. For me, online doesn't really matter that much.
I suppose, but I mean, like, can you two-player it, too? Like, if you have your fiancé at home, can you guys play together? Is it just you?
I'm pretty sure it's just one player.
Just get the new Super Mario Brothers.
We actually played through that together. And actually, got mad at me when I played it by myself. You played without me? So they had to make my own game file so I could play by myself.
Yeah, that game, it's fun if you have somebody that knows how to play that type of game, but if I play like with my dad that never plays that type of game, he can kind of get yourself killed easier.
What was really funny was when we were playing it, and then I realized you could pick the other person up. So like, he's having a problem with it, so I just ran over, pick her up, and then like hopped over to lava. And the I meant to throw her on the ground, but I accidentally turned around and threw her in the lava. And that got really mad.
Yeah, you shouldn't throw your wife in the lava.
But it's fun because you could, I think you could swap extra lives. Or anyway, there was a trick you can do in a certain world to get up to 99 lives.
Oh.
So she was running low. I was like, we just go back to that world, and I just refill it up back up to 99 lives.
Aww.
So how many game systems do you own, Crow?
Oh, over 30 for sure.
Wow.
I don't know. I have to count. Also, it depends if you want to count like the Sega CD and the Sega 32X as two as different systems.
So you own like all the Atari consoles now, right?
That's right.
Sweet.
Yeah. And I'll be getting more stuff in the mail soon. My dad will be sending stuff that I didn't even realize he still had.
Because there's Atari EXs and stuff. Those are hard to find.
Oh, yeah, the XEGSs. My fiance found that with her mom at a plane trade, actually. So I was like, sure, get it. Because I've never seen one in the wild. I've never seen one, period, before.
Neither have I. I didn't even know it existed until you showed it. And I was like, what a weird design for a...
Yeah, it's because when I was at the other video game store, the guy at that video game store, they've got all the game systems hanging up on the wall. And then he was like, hey, guess which systems aren't hanging up on the wall? And I'm like, the XEGS. He's like, oh, that doesn't count as a game system. Because it's actually a computer.
Right. Would it have a keyboard and a mouse?
It has a keyboard that'll attach with it to it, but right. It didn't come with the keyboard. But you don't really need the keyboard either, unless you wanted to play a game that specifically required the keyboard.
Right.
His videos. And it's mainly because of my fiance again. Before I met her, I only had four game systems, and this was like in maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I'd say 3 years ago. I only had like four game systems. And she was working at Goodwill at the time. And she would find, oh, here's a Genesis. And okay, so now. But yeah, like 4 years ago, I was actually more into playing, I don't know if you've heard of it, Ragnarok Online.
Yeah.
I played that a lot. A lot. I actually had transcendent character leveled up to 97.
Oh my goodness.
And it was to the point to where if I had played the game for like 6 to 8 hours a day just leveling up, it would have taken me 3 months to get to the next level.
Ouch.
Isn't there a DS game with that title, Ragnarok?
Yes. That's just come out recently, and that is based on the same game.
Oh. So it was originally just a PC game.
Yeah, it started in Korea. It's based in Korea. And there's like an international version that people in the U.S. are supposed to play on. At first, I played it in beta for a long time because it was free. And then I started still playing it. When I went to pay to play, I didn't play it for a while. And then I figured, well, you know what? I'll play this because it's only like $12 a month. It was like $60 for a year or something like that. And if I'm busy playing this, then I won't spend my money on other video games, which actually kind of worked. But when I stopped playing it, I went back to the video games. I played it for a year or two in that game.
Awesome. Do you play World of Warcraft?
I actually bought that. And it comes with a 30-day free trial, and I actually played it for about 15 days before I got tired of it. Like, I'm not gonna be playing this.
No, don't make fun of it.
I'm not making fun of it. It's just
I'm just kidding.
I liked Ragnarok a lot better, actually.
No, I know. I came first.
I used to have my merchant in Ragnarok. Whenever I wasn't playing, I logged it on to a different computer and logged on as the merchant and just had him sit in town vending stuff.
Oh, I want to sell.
Natasha wants to be a salesman in Red Dead Redemption in one of the forts.
Don't say it.
And just sell things.
Yeah, that
no,
was...
I think that was if there was an Oregon Trail online, I would own a fort in the middle of everywhere and then get paid for people's supplies and never go west.
Play that all the time in school, the Oregon Trail on the Apple TV.
that was a text game, wasn't it?
No, actually, yeah. It did have some graphics.
Your
wagon float the river, you could watch it break and fall to pieces and watch your... But you don't get to watch your family members die, but then that was so-and-so has died.
It was always you first, and then the cool people, and then the one at the end would be somebody you just threw in to get an extra name.
The best thing about that game was that when somebody died, you left them a tombstone, and they wrote an epitaph. But then the next person who played the game on the computer, or anybody else who played after that, would see the tombstones when they passed by it.
Cool, I didn't know that. We always play that at school, though.
Well, yeah, it's cool. I mean, that's it's like anybody that played on that computer or had that disc. If you played the game again, you would see how far somebody made it and lost family members.
Well, I think there's a picture online and somebody made a character called Aquaman and he drowned in the river. Yeah. And it was funny because it's like Aquaman has drowned.
Man, I've seen that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I just...
Looking forward to your... whatever future guest you do. Oh, she's here.
All right, man. See you later.
All right, see you.
Bye.
Bye.